Now, I want to read some scriptures too. You can just stay seated if you want to. I want to read in Genesis 31 and 6. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. This is Jacob talking to his two wives after being approached by the brothers of his two wives. And of course, this is about Laban. We briefly left off here in one of our former messages. And your father hath deceived me. I worked with all my power. I didn't know he liked to work. You can't find where Jacob did any work before. He was always scandaling and conniving and staying at home and tricking people and things like that. But Mr. Jacob was now being changed. And he says, now your father deceived me. Who's he? Now that's the kettle calling the pot black. Who is he to say your father deceived me when he deceived his father? And he changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Thank God. Hallelujah. He suffered Esau not to hurt him. I'm telling you, what God blesses, no man can curse. No man can hurt. If he said thus, talking about his father, Laban, this is cute here. If he said thus, the speckled shall be my wages, talking about the cows, the offsprings. The speckled shall be thy wages, thinking they won't have any speckled ones. Then all the cattle barrel speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstraked shall be thine hire, then bear all the cattle ringstraked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle from your father and given them to me. It didn't matter what he said they were going to be my wages, that's what came out of there. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban hath done unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, the God of the first dream. What, listen to me this morning. I'm the God of the first dream. He's dreaming again. He said, but I'm the God of the house of God, the Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar. Remember that? And where thou vowedest those vows unto me. Remember that? Now, arise, get thee out of this land and return into the land of thy kindred. I want to teach for a little while this morning, knowing when to change dreams. Knowing when it is time to change dreams. And the dreams I'm wanting to talk about today is not necessarily nighttime when you have a dream, but just aspirations in life. And some of them may be dreams, but I don't necessarily want to talk about the visions of the unconscious mind. What I really rather talk about is the imaginations that are created in a conscious mind, those dreams that you have while you're awake. However, a blank mind is the canvas upon which imagination becomes reality. And most inventions that we see today are only a derivative of another invention. Even Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And so, but the original dream, the original invention, was painted upon a blank canvas of imagination, of what if I could, what if there was. And most dreams are conceived in darkness and birthed in the light. They're conceived in darkness and birthed in the light. Have you ever had someone ask you a question and they caught you off guard and you say, I drew a How do you draw a blank? Well, I drew a blank, meaning I had no response. I had nothing to say. So what happens is you start creating something to say. And unfortunately, many times it's a lie. Man, they caught me off guard. I didn't know what to say, so I said, and it wasn't relevant. But you got creative, you see. That's just my point. So all of a sudden, you got creative because you drew a blank, and now you got to fill in these blanks. And so, when you can be real creative when you start off with blank. I wished I had time to pass out blank sheets of paper to you all and say, get started. And see what each of you would write and what you would do. But if I give you something to start with, you will follow what I already gave you. But if I give you a blank, then you're going to have to be creative and start with nothing. So it was in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was a blank. God drew a blank, if you will. He looked upon an earth that was void of everything, including light. But as I said, things are conceived in darkness and they are birthed in the light. So God said, I want to create something, but I cannot create it in darkness. So he said, let there be light. Sooner or later, your dreams have got to come to light. Yeah, dream all your life is to stay in darkness all your life. Some people dream till they're 50, 60 years old and then they wake up. And they say, oh, it's never going to happen. And even God said, let there be light. And he divided the light from the darkness. And then he began to create things. What he had already thought in the blanket of his mind, in the darkness that was upon the earth. He started off with a clean slate. Don't you like to start off life with a clean slate? There's people move from town to town, church to church, place to place, trying to wipe the slate clean so they can start off with a clean slate, a blank, if you will. And when things are in darkness is when the imagination begins to work. And the best thing that can ever happen to you is the lights come on. Now you got to produce. Now it's time to put your dreams into action. And this is exactly what faith is. I don't want to walk by faith all my life. We talk about and sing about walking by faith with Christ the Lord. But David said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sooner or later, I want to see what I'm believing for. Hallelujah. So, but my faith is that darkness. It's where my imagination, I can see myself doing that. I can see this happening in my life. I can see my kids living for God. I can see all these things that I want to see. But sooner or later, it's got to come to light. Hallelujah. And that's why James spoke this way. He said that one says he has faith, another says he has works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. What he's saying is, I'll show you when you see it manifested, then you'll know I had faith. But just to talk about your faith with no works, he said, it's dead and abides alone. It's no good. I got faith. I got faith. I got faith. I got faith. Well, that's good. But sooner or later, you've got to say, see the works? Now you know I had faith. I don't need to tell you I've got faith because look at the works. You have to have faith to become whatever you want to become in this life, or you'll never get there. But once you get there, you know he had faith to get there. Are you with me this morning? And so faith many times is a blank check where you believe God and you say, ask what you will. It's a blank check. Ask what you will. You fill it out and I fill it up, if you will. You blank check. Ask what you will and it shall be done. But your will must coincide with his will, and it'll be done every time. Hallelujah. The most creative people always like a blank. A blank canvas. An artist does not want to start with something else that somebody else had. He wants to start, give me a blank canvas. A singer wants a blank CD. And yeah, there's some people who want blank checks. I understand that too. A blank sheet of paper, whatever. Start off with a blank. It gives you the opportunity to bring your mind to light and not just a derivative of somebody else's thinking. And when things go blank in life is the time you need to think about changing dreams. When things have reached the end and they are exhausted, then sometimes you have to think, that might not ever happen. Jesus told his disciples that when they go into the synagogues and before the magistrates and these kind of things, says, think not what you will say tomorrow, for in the selfsame hour when they bring you in there, you're going to draw a blank. But he said, don't worry, because I'll fill the blank. Don't worry, because I'll tell you what to say at that time. You ever had anybody you thought you rehearsed everything you was going to tell them, and then when you got there, blah. It didn't come out at all like you had rehearsed. We've all had dreams. We've all had aspirations in life, some of which perhaps you've obtained and most of which you will never obtain. But you need to know why it was important that you chase that dream. You go, why did I do that? I thought that was from God. I was so sure that was from God. And maybe it was, and you're not recognizing it. And that's what I want to help you today. Our hearts are filled with disappointment when we wake up sometimes and realize I'm never going to accomplish the end of that dream that I had or those aspirations or goals that I had in life. So my question to you this morning is, don't forsake the first dream thinking it was useless. But sometimes you've got to change dreams to fulfill the first dream. Dreams are like trains and planes. I've never seen Kansas City Southern drop anybody off at their front door. I don't know anybody that got off a passenger plane and said, see y'all tomorrow. They had to catch another ride to get to another place. And dreams are much like that. It brings you to a certain place. You know the destination, and the first dream may be real, but you got to catch another dream to get to the next place. But it doesn't mean that the first dream or the aspirations or goals that you had in life were of no value. And that's what I want to try to help people with today, to realize that sometimes it only gets you to one place so that you can catch another train and go to another place. How many of you ever heard of Bette, B-E-T-T-E, Bette Nesmith Graham? Could I see a hand? Anybody? Nobody's heard of Bette Nesmith Graham, but you've probably used her product. This is a true story of a lady who had never intended to be an inventor. She always dreamed of being an artist. However, the story says that shortly after World War II had ended, she found herself divorced and having one small child, a son. And she learned, because she had to provide now for herself and her son, she learned shorthand and she learned typing skills and found employment as an executive secretary in a firm. As an efficient little typist that she was, learned on her own, she still wanted to perfect her skills in typing and her ability to do her job efficiently. So she sought a better way to correct her typing errors. Mm-hmm. She remembered, though, when she had aspirations of being an artist, that painters make mistakes too. And they cover over their mistakes to bring it back to a canvas look. They had a way of taking a paint and going over what the mistake was so that you never knew there was a mistake, so they could recreate the canvas and do it right again. So she drew from her dreams of being an artist and decided there must be a way to correct or paint over typing errors. So Mrs. Graham took what simple artist skills that she had and gathered up some water-based paint and tinted it to match the white stationery she was writing on. She placed the solution in a bottle and took the watercolor brush to the office. She used this concoction to correct her typing mistakes so well that her boss did not even notice. Soon other secretaries began to think about this invention that she had come up with, and they too wanted some of this concoction to cover over their typing mistakes too. So she found a green bottle at home and she wanted to label it, so she labeled her concoction Mistake Out. Mistake Out. Yeah. And gave it to her friends. Soon all the secretaries wanted her Mistake Out because they too... this is where it gets good. They too had made mistakes and needed to cover them up. So in 1956, Mrs. Graham started a business in her home in Dallas, Texas, called the Mistake Out Company, later called Liquid Paper. Yes. She then turned her kitchen into a laboratory of mixing up this concoction, improved it by using her electric mixer, and she had this one son that helped her with his friends to bottle this concoction, and they began to sell it, but was selling a lot but not making much money. But one day, an opportunity came her way. She made a mistake in the office that caused her to get fired. Now she had time to devote to Mistake Out. And so she began to put all of her energy into this new dream. With the loss of her job, Mrs. Graham decided it was time to change dreams. In 1967, her sales had grown into the multi-million dollar business. In 1968, she moved into her own plant and corporate headquarters, still in Dallas, Texas, with 19 employees. She sold over 1 million bottles of liquid paper that year. In 1975, Liquid Paper moved into a 35,000 square foot international office headquartered in Dallas, Texas, and had a plant that could produce 500 bottles of liquid paper in 1 minute. She sold 25 million bottles. Mrs. Graham believed that money was a tool and not a solution to problems. Quite wise. So she set up foundations to help women find better ways to make a living in hard times. In 1980, 6 months after selling the corporation for $47.5 million, Mrs. Graham died. What would have happened, my question to you this morning, had she said, "I made a mistake wanting to be an artist"? All that time I spent wanting to be an artist was just a mistake. But she used the knowledge of the first dream to incorporate into the second dream, which fulfilled the first dream, so that all the dreams were fulfilled. She was an artist indeed, covering up mistakes, bringing back the canvas to its original form. This morning, I'm sure, sitting here and listening to me this morning, there's people that had aspirations of being everything from a doctor to a fireman to a guitar player to a preacher, you name it. But what gets in our way many times are mistakes. Mistakes. If I hadn't got married so soon, hadn't had a child so soon, if I hadn't have done this so soon, if I wouldn't have done that. And life is full of mistakes that seems to hinder you from accomplishing your dreams. Now, Jacob, back to my text, Jacob left his father's house in haste because Esau was after him, wanted to kill him, and he feverishly ran till he was out of gas. He was weary and tired, and he laid down in a place on his way to Haran, on his way to see Laban, and he laid his head down on a rock and called it a pillow. This is hard times, folks. When you take a rock and you call it a pillow. Money was not the issue. He had the inheritance. He had the double blessing. But what he didn't have was peace in his life. And once he was asleep, the canvas of his mind was blank. And God began to write on the canvas of an unconscious man. As he slept, he had a dream. And on this canvas, God began to paint a picture of angels ascending and descending up and down a ladder, and the Lord God Almighty at the top of the ladder. And at the top of the ladder, he was telling him that I am with thee. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. And wherever you go, he said, even the land that you lay on, I give it unto you. And the Bible says that he awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Jacob arose up early in the morning. He took that stone and he put it for that he had for a pillow and he turned it into a pillar, a monument, a place I had a dream. This is the place where God showed me my future. I'm not sure what all it means yet, but I know God's with me. That's what I need to know. You may not understand your dreams and your aspirations, why you want to be what you want to be. It doesn't matter. As long as God is with you. He said, that much I know. And he said, I'm going to take this stone and I'm going to call, and he anointed the stone and called that place Bethel, which means house of God. And there Jacob vowed a vow saying, if the Lord God will be with me and keep me in all the way that I go, give me bread to eat and raiment, give me food to eat and clothes on my back, then the Lord God shall be my God. And whatever increase you give me, I give you back a tenth. Jacob, giving something away? This man is realizing that God is with him, even though he's making mistakes. See, many times I'm afraid as Christians, as preachers, we don't think God's with people when we see them making mistakes. We think, well, if you were a prophet, you wouldn't let that lady be at your feet, Jesus. She's a sinner. This dream would energize Jacob to go on and to go on and to go on. Jacob now met Laban. When he met Laban, he met himself. He met his mother's brother. He met the genetics head on. It was gene against gene, if you will. And here he's going to face a man that is a greater trickster than him. You know the story. He made him work 14 years to get what he loved. But God was with him. And now the time had come as Laban would despise Jacob and Jacob now despised Laban. That's a good time to look for a new dream. Oh, they were at each other's throat. But yet Laban did not want Jacob to leave because every time he get ready to leave, oh, don't leave. Because I realize that God is with you and I'm blessed by you being here. But Jacob decided to call his two wives together, and he gets Rachel and Leah together. And he says this, he says, you know how I served your father with all my power. See, I like that. I like it when you live for God with all your power. I like it when you work a job with all your power. I like it whatever you do, he said, when you put your hands to the plow, do it with all your strength, all your power. He said, I work for your father with all my power, and yet he's changed my wages 10 times, but God hath not suffered him to hurt me. And he said this. This is what your old man said. He said, your wages shall be the speckled cows, thinking there won't be any speckled cows come out of this. And they had speckled cows. Oh, well, your wages will be the ring straight cows. And they had ring straight cows. And so the Lord speaks to him again in another dream. He said, it came to pass at the time the cattle conceived, conception is in darkness, revelation is in the light. When the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams that leaped upon the cattle, guess what? They were ring straight, they were speckled, and they were grizzled. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, I'm still with you. Remember the time you had the first dream when you set the pillow for the pillar. I am still the God of Bethel. I'm still that God, but now it's time to change dreams. I want you to get your stuff together and go back to the people that understand you. There's nothing worse than live with people that don't understand you. Anybody ever tried to live with somebody that don't understand you, talk with somebody? You're not understanding me. It causes you to get angry. The Lord was telling Jacob when he looked in that dream, he saw all manner, if you will, of rams, that it didn't matter what they breeded to the cow, it was going to come out whatever God wanted it to come out. Because God was with him. And God is with you. You need to understand, as a child of God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If they fire you tomorrow, say, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. End of that dream. Now, what's my next dream? This lady would have never invented and brought to you whiteout, mistake out, liquid paper, whatever you want to call it, had she not got fired. This morning, I want to tell you as I get ready to get out of here, you've got to know when it's time to change dreams. One dream can get you to one place, but it may not get you all the way. Mrs. Graham had that dream of being an artist. She never really became her first dream, but the second dream was greater than her first dream. Don't despise the first dream. Joseph had a dream, and it led him to a pit. It didn't happen until he told his dream. But when he told his dream, they hated him. But the pit led to the palace. And in the dungeon, he interpreted another dream, and it got him out. And his dreaming ability to interpret dreams, it just kept changing, moving. It moved him from place to place, dungeon, back to the palace, back to the dungeon, back to the palace. And he got to be governor of the whole place. Why? Because he knew when to change dreams. He didn't understand them all. But in the end, he said, now I understand how all this came about. Here is Daddy. Here are my brothers. And they are bowing down to me. Just like the first dream said, but it wasn't how he thought it would be. And so this morning, if you had dreams and aspirations of being something in life, maybe your dreams was just like the cowboy that rides off into the sunset. Maybe it's the marriage. Maybe it's the job. Maybe you had aspirations of all kinds of things you wanted it to be, but it's not there yet. Can I tell you, don't forsake the first dream in that it brought you so far. But it may be time to change dreams in how you view your relationship with people. Before Mrs. Graham had mistake out, God had white out. Yes. Thank God for white out. Isaiah wrote it, wash me, make me clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. But I've already done it. I've already made my mistakes. Nobody's going to want me. Nobody's going to love me. He said, learn to do well. You've got to change your ways. Learn to do well, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now. Let us reason together. You know what that is? I want to listen to you, and I want you to listen to me. And let's work this out. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I've got a white out. Thank you, Jesus. A white out. You need white out. They do things more electronic today, but I remember brushing that on there. Huh? Peck. And it's never quite the same, but it's acceptable. It's acceptable. And some things you need to understand may never be quite the same, but they're going to be acceptable. What did the Lord tell Cain? He didn't ask him for a perfect sacrifice. He said, bring me an acceptable sacrifice that we may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So this morning, I've got to get out of here. But let me read the rest of it. White as snow, and though and they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I don't have time to talk about dyed in the wool this morning, but maybe next lesson we'll talk about dyed in the wool. But thank God for whiteout. And let me just tell you, whatever you've dreamed in life, I'm just going to tell you. You see, I dreamed of being a dentist. I became that. At 35, I changed careers totally. And I got a call from the dean at dental school. I was a pretty good student. And he called me. He heard I was getting out of school. He called me and begged me not to do that. But I had another dream. I had another dream. And that dream of the first one, becoming a dentist, helped me in this one tremendously. So I'd probably never be where I'm at today had I not had the first dream. So what I'm trying to teach you is don't despise. Somebody said, don't you feel bad you wasted 20 years of your life? You went to school 8 years to be a dentist, and then you practiced about 11 years, almost 20 years of your life you wasted. I said, oh no. I couldn't do what I was wanted to do at 25. No one was going to come to me at 25. But at 35, 45, and now 59, they still coming to me. They still coming to me. Hallelujah. You've got to know when it's time. See, it was time. 35 was time. 59's too late for me to change dreams. 35 was time to change dreams. And take the dream of the past. Although it looked to everybody else like maybe a failure, it was not. I took the success of that dream and walked into another dream. And God has blessed me. And He'll do the same for you. Thank God for whiteout. God bless you. Take a little break here, and let's come back for morning worship.